Brothers, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, this will be our text for the message today on Father's Day. Colossians 3:21 says, Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, the second one is Ephesians 6:4, and if you want to keep your finger in both places, you can. Ephesians is right before Colossians. There, just back up a little bit. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Both of these verses talk about not provoking your children. The first one talks about if you do it, they'll be discouraged. And that word in the Greek, discouraged, is a word, athumio, and it has to do a negative alpha, like atheist, one who has no belief in God, no God, a negative participle or negative alpha put on the front of the word. The word thumia, what it is saying is to be without spirit. You'll make the child spiritless. If you're always angry at your child, you'll make your child spiritless. You'll break the child's spirit. And God is saying, don't be that way. He said, don't provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And angry people are disheartened people. And by the way, angry people are discouraged people, and angry people discourage others, and it's like a sickness that is contagious. And so he says, if you're angry, and you're always angry with your children, you're always provoking your children, and you're angry, God said they will become discouraged. They'll be athumia. You'll break their spirit. And God says, don't do that. You know, I always preach to the dads. We come not only to, we don't come to bury you, we don't come to praise you, we come to preach to you, all right? We want to give you something helpful today. Dad, if you're angry and you're mad, and so many men today seem like they're angry and they're mad. You see it on the freeway. One psychologist decided to bring the worst out in men. He equipped his couch with a steering wheel. And he said that always brought out the worst in them. Well, I can get out on the freeway and I see a lot of angry men. Folks, if we're angry, God said we will discourage those around us. We will make them heartless and they will be disheartened. And then in 6:4, he says, ye fathers of Ephesians, he says, ye fathers, I'm preaching to you fathers today, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the Greek, this word provoke and the word wrath are the same word. Not seen in the English in that way, but in the Greek it is so. And the word is paragidzo. And para means alongside, parabole, ballo, I throw. It's a story thrown alongside to illustrate a truth, para alongside. The orgidzo means to enrage. It means to anger alongside. And so what he's saying here, plainly, he says, ye fathers, don't you do this. Don't provoke, don't para orgidzo. Because if you do, you'll provoke your children to paragidzo. In other words, he's saying it's plainly saying don't be surprised if they are what you are. If you're always angry and mad and unpleasant and unkind, then don't be surprised when they end up being angry and unpleasant and unkind exactly like you. And he'll say, Dad, you're the one that provoked them to that. You're the one that developed them and grew them in that way. So he's saying, don't do that. They're going to be like you. Now, Dad, this verse I'm teaching this morning, I dedicate myself to always teaching and sharing truth. Every minute of Sunday school in this hour, we're trying to share some truth. And I can go back and listen to it. And I can listen to each line and each minute, and I can tell where we're trying to share some truth, something that we need to know. We've dedicated ourselves to this. And listen carefully, dear dads. This verse is not saying that you always give children their way. It is not saying that you never stop them from doing wrong. And it is not saying that you never make them do right. lest you upset them in some way. That's not what this verse is saying. It's saying for you to model for them, but you certainly hold them accountable. Somebody in the church brought me a little thing that says, I have a drug problem. And in it, this author, unknown, states as his premise, I have a drug problem. Before I was sent to the big house, someone at a store in a small town read that, and he goes on to talk about how they found some drugs in a place. And so the question was asked, why didn't we have a drug problem when we were growing up? This fella answers, I did have a drug problem when I was a kid growing up on the farm. Now, Galen Parker, I think you're going to identify with this and some of the others, how we grew up on the farms. He says, for example, I was drugged to family reunions and community socials no matter the weather. I was drugged no matter what. I was drugged to the church on Sunday. I was drugged to weddings and funerals. I was drugged by my ears if I was disrespectful to an adult. I was drugged to the woodshed if I disobeyed my parents, spoke a lie, or brought home a bad report card, or didn't speak with respect, or spoke ill of the teacher or preacher, or if I didn't put forth my best effort in everything that was asked of me. I was drugged to the kitchen sink if I uttered a profane four-letter word. I do know what lye soap tastes like, he inserted. I was drugged to pull weeds out in Mom's garden and the flower beds and cockleburs out in Dad's field. I was drugged to the homes of family and friends and neighbors to help out some poor soul who had no one to help them. And it says, these drugs, this writer says, these drugs are still in my veins. They affect my behavior and everything I do and say and think. He goes on to say they're stronger than cocaine or crack or heroin. He said, if every child had this kind of a drug problem, the world would be a better place. And so, beloved, I'm not telling you that you never make them do right or stop them from doing wrong. In fact, you're supposed to do that. A father figure is an authority figure, and children must learn to respect that. Listen to the Word of God. Under law and under grace, a father is to be honored. Exodus 20 and 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may be well with thee. And then in Matthew 19:18, Jesus said, among other things, honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus preached that exact message. Now, friend, if you don't honor your father and honor your mother, you're in direct disobedience, not to the law of Moses only, but to the teachings of the one who is grace personified, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 6, you're still there. Look in verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right to obey your parents. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, here's our text, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want you to see a great truth today. It's about positive parenting. It's about bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. More than anybody in life, a daddy is to be one who lifts up. From the earliest days of life, a little one experiences daddy lifting them up. And all of their life, dad is to be one who lifts up his children. By the way, you do it physically when they are small. You do it all their life spiritually. You lift them up. Don't pull them down. Don't tear them down. That's what God is saying. He's saying, listen, provoke them not to wrath. Don't tear your children down. Build your children up. Lift your children up. You know, our church has seen some wonderfully fine young people go out of this church. They've scattered now to many places. Some are still among us, thank God. And we hope they remain among us. But I've always marveled at what fine parents we had in our church and how they've raised their children and they've built them up. We send them out with confidence that they can do whatever they need to do, whatever job it is, whatever academic endeavor they're facing. It has been a principle in this church that we have echoed and repeated again and again, that we are here to edify, we are here to build up. fathers, the first line of that has to be dad in the home. You see, it doesn't matter how the preacher might try to lift you up, or the teacher might try to lift you up, or the coach might try to lift you up, if the main figure in your life, your dad, is always putting you down at home. Dads, be a lifter-upper. Be a positive encourager. I believe today in positive parenting. Now, I want to say this to you, my dear friend. You, dear dad, you can't lead them in a way you're not in yourself. Now, you may point them, but you can't lead them. And, sir, if you would be a good father, it is not about pointing them. It's about leading them. And you can't lead them in a way that you are not in yourself. And you can't lift them up unless you yourself are up. If you're always down, you'll be pulling them down. But if you're up, then you can lift them up. And if you're in the way yourself, then you can lead them in the way that they should go. This text says bring them. It doesn't say send them. It says bring them. And so it's not enough to point them. You must lead them. And it's not enough to send them. You must bring them as they go along with you. Dear Dad, I almost titled the sermon, Dear Dad, whether you like it or not, you are the leader in the life of your children. You are leading them, whether you want to or not. Either you're leading them to the Lord, or you're leading them away from the Lord. Now I want to ask you today, where are you, sir, leading your children? Are you leading them to heaven, or are you leading them to hell? Are you leading them in the way of the Lord, or are you leading them in the way of the world? What this world needs this morning more than anything is Jesus. I had a little story. Somebody here brought it to me. His little girl kept pestering him. And so they were traveling, I think, on a train. I forget details. I consider details inconsequential. To be truthful with you, there's a point to the story, and I care a little about details unless they relate to making the point. But anyway, as he traveled, his little girl kept pestering him. And so he took there was a map of the United States there, and he tore it all into pieces. And he said, here, honey, put that back together. He thought it would take her a while. In just a second, he had some scotch tape. In just a second, she had it back together. He said, honey, how in the world did you put that map back together so quickly? She said, oh, it was easy. She said, on the back side of this page, there's a picture of Jesus. And said, I just put Jesus together and said, once I had Jesus there, everything else was right in place. Now, boy, I thought that's pretty good. Folks, if you'll get Jesus there, the puzzle will begin to come together. I want to ask you today, do you want to be a good dad? I mean a real good dad. Do you want today to be a real good dad? You know, there's some things that you'll have to have to be a good dad, and I'm going to be through today. Number one, I think you have to have wisdom. You have to have wisdom. I tell you guys, and you young guys that are just starting out, you got to have wisdom more than ever today. And I know you're great problem solvers. My friend Jeremiah Stone back there, I heard Gene and I found a funny story the other day, and I thought immediately of Jeremiah Stone. I love the ingenuity of these young men. A young fellow was driving down the road in his sports car as a two-seater, and he passed by a bus stop, and the bus had apparently been late in coming. Well, he saw those three people standing there in the heat, and he wanted to help them. When he stopped, he realized that one of them was his best friend that had once saved his life. Then he realized the second one, he was a young single man, was the most beautiful young woman he'd ever seen. She was the girl of his dreams, the one he'd been looking for his whole life. And the third one was a very elderly lady who had become sick in the heat, and it appeared as if she didn't get help immediately that she might, in fact, become very ill and perhaps die. And so he stood there with a dilemma. He had one seat. Who do I take with me? My best friend who once saved my life? The most beautiful girl I've ever seen? I may never see her again, have this opportunity? Or this dear lady who's about to die? Well, here's how Jeremiah solved the problem. He gave his best friend the keys and said, take this little lady to the hospital, and he stayed with the girl to wait for the bus. I think that's ingenuity, amen. That does sound like Jeremiah, doesn't it? How he solved the problem. I tell you, Dad, you got to have the wisdom of Solomon. I saw a cartoon the other day that it had a big field and a big sign, free watermelons, take one. It said, pick your own. And it showed a dad out there with his little wife beside him, and he had a little one in his arms, and he had two other children. And there were thousands of these watermelons out in this field. And his two other children were at both ends of the same watermelon saying, "Mine, mine, mine!" Can anybody relate to that? Thousands of them out there. But the thing that attracted my attention, these big gaping mouths of the children, most people's visual would be drawn to that. But I looked up at the dad, and it was so almost unnoticeable, but he had his hand on his head like that. Had one kid in his arm, had his hand on his head, and you can tell he's thinking, "Oh my, how am I going to fix this?" Dad, every day of your life, it seems that you need the wisdom of Solomon. Can I tell you how to have wisdom, sir? Christ has made unto us wisdom. And if you let Jesus come into your heart, He will be in you what you need to be the parent to your children. I worry today, and I don't mean to bring you down, but sometimes I see a generation that's cocky in attitude. I mean, they're cocky. You know what that means? They have that arrogance about them. They're confused about morality. Cocky in attitude, think they know everything. Confused about morality. Conceited in their opinion. They think they're right, and they'll tell anybody off. I'm seeing a lot of this today, and it scares me. Some of them are becoming consumed with destructive behavior, alcohol and other things, and they're becoming corrupt in their lifestyles, and engaging in things that are horrible. And they're careless about Christianity and spirituality. They're careless. They don't care. They don't have an interest in it at all. And by the way, if they continue in that path, they're going to be condemned by God. The Bible says in one place, even this whole generation. God said that. Can that happen? You know, folks, we can lose it in one generation. Dad, you're the front line of defense. Dad, you've got to arise to the occasion. You've got to be the one. How I admire parents, and I've known so many, and I never tell anything, that they would see their child getting in, and they were willing to risk intervention. They were willing to step in there. They were willing to be a man, to be a dad, to step up and say, "Look, I'm going to do whatever I have to do, you see, to get this done." We need dads who are willing to be concerned and involved and care, willing to pray for their kids and talk to their kids and love their kids. And to do that, we have to have wisdom. It's a wisdom that is above us. It is beyond us. And by the way, we may or may not succeed, but we'll be able to look in the mirror and know that we tried. We did our best. We gave it a good shot because we cared. God, give us wisdom today. And then last, and I'm through, is I believe to be a good dad, you got to have a real want to. It's got to be something you want to do. You know, I believe you do what you want to do. I believe anything you want to do, you'll find a way to do it if it's humanly possible for it to be done. And I hear other people all the time say, "Oh, I want to," but, you know, no, you don't. If you really wanted to, you'd find a way to get it done. And friend, the main thing God is looking for today in men, I think, is men who want to. God said, "I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap, that would make up the hedge." God said, "I was looking for somebody who'd step up, step in that hole, be what I need them to be, that I would give them the wisdom. They would wait on me before me and tarry and pray for my power, and I wait on me, and then I would give them the wisdom they need because they want to." Jesus said, "If any man willeth to know, he shall know." Jesus said, "If you want to, you can." You see, if you want to be saved, you can. Nobody's excluded. If you want to be saved, you can. Sir, if you want to be a good daddy, you say, "I've messed up. I haven't done very good." Well, if you want to, you can. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You can be the man God intended for you to be. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. You know, dads and granddads, and by the way, even those who don't have children, you're a male role model to some child. Somebody is watching you. Somebody. You know, I admire these coaches. Brother Rick just moved away, and we certainly miss him. And he was a good coach. I know Harvey back there's coach, and Gary's coach, and a bunch of others have coached. And I tell you, I admire these coaches. And the fact they're willing to give their time to help these boys. But I tell you, the number one coach in any boy's life ought to be his daddy. And even in the little girl's life, they need to be able to know, you know, I can always count on Dad. He's faithful. And he's going to ask for wisdom, and he's going to tell me what he believes is true. He might be wrong. Would you look up a minute? I had, and I know you feel the same way, the most honorable father a human being could conceivably have. I never knew the man to lie. I never once knew any false thing to pass his lips. If it did, I never knew about it. And I was with him in business. I was with him all the time. Now, he was flawed. He made mistakes. I know he did. He was a sinner. I'm a sinner. But I tell you one thing. I always knew that if he told me something, I could know in my heart that he was telling me what he honestly, sincerely believed to be true. Therefore, I trusted him. I trusted him so much. And we had this trust relationship. Simply because I knew that if he looked at me, I knew several things. I knew, number one, he loved me. He loved me. He wanted what was best for me, just like my Heavenly Father loves me and wants what's best for me. And number two, I knew that whatever he told me, that he was trying to help me. He didn't want to hurt me. He only wanted to help me. And I tell you folks what it produced. It produced a love to go talk to my dad, to hear what my dad said, to call him on the phone. He never bossed me, told me what I had to do. After I was grown, he never did. He was careful never to overstep that. But he was honest with me and tell me what he thought. Dads, let's be that kind of men. Let's be the kind of men. Let's go to the altar before God today. And let's say, God, help me to be a man with a want to. And God, give me the wisdom. Help me to stand in the gap. Help me to be, maybe I haven't been in the past. But Lord, forgive me and cleanse me. And help me today to start out to be the man you wanted me to be. Now that begins with salvation, you see. You can't lead a man what you're not in yourself. And it's not enough to send them. We need to bring them. And you can't lift them unless you're there. So you need to get there yourself. Get saved. Get right with God. Brother David, would you stand here at the front? If you just need to come pray, come pray.